This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Welcome to I Will Watch Anything Once. I'm your host, Mark David Christensen. Hello, listeners. I hope everyone out there has seen Wonder Woman. I mean, according to the domestic box office breaking records, it looks like everybody has. I think that's a great thing. Now, my critical brain cannot turn off. That's the truth. I didn't really like the movie. I don't want to get in on all those details. You know, there are some things that I think undermine a little bit of her journey, in the third act, as well as I think a little bit of her kind of like her being naive about the world sort of undermined the all-female culture of the Amazonians. But you know what? I don't want to get into that. You know, there's going to be so many people writing about it. Who gives a shit if I liked it or not? What is great and I want to focus on is the positive thing of a female director directing a female-led action blockbuster summer movie breaking records, because what that will do is, as some articles said, is it's going to break the ceiling. I hope it does. You know, nothing happens overnight, but what we need is allow this movie to move forward so we can have better opportunities for female directors and female led movies. The best part about this is that I hope there's more Wonder Woman movies, because I think they can be even better than this one. And just in general, I've said it before, I just want more female lead in all genres. It doesn't just mean to be summer action movies. I can't wait for Marvel to bring out its Captain Marvel, that so we can see Carol Danvers as a lead character, as well as I can't wait for that new Charlize Theron movie, Atomic Blonde, coming out this year. But this is the first big step for that in cinema. There was Catherine Bigelow before this, but we're showing that in the big blockbuster films, not just the art for films for award season, but a female director can break box office records. But you don't need to hear that from me. You're seeing it by people going and people praising this Wonder Woman, the movie. Go see it. Make your own opinions about it. Love it. I don't think you can hate it, because I don't hate it. I just disliked it. There's problems with it in the script. I think the direction is good. I think Gal Gadot is great. I do think the script has issues. But hey, it was written by a man. Am I right? Oh, God, everybody's going to hate this now. But you know what? Hate me. Who cares? Go see the movie, support it, and then support more female directors. It can't just stop there. It has to continue on. There's great storytellers that aren't getting the chance. This is showing that that can change. So let's keep being positive and support that. And speaking of support all the great shows right here at Boardwalk Audio by clicking on the website, that big button that says support our artists, then make your purchases at Amazon.com. We get a small kickback and keep these great shows coming to you. And you know what? Speaking of great female performers and creators of content, such as Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot, my guest this week is a wonderful woman that I'm lucky to know. She's a great comedian, She's a performer in the comedy scene in Los Angeles. She's a funny actress. God, she's just great. She's just great. I love every time I'm around her. It's a joy. And I, you know, we can't help but not giggle and be dumb and call each other out and just kind of cut each other down in the sense of just in order to uplift us and become better people. She is wonderful. So let's get to this great episode with my guest, Madeline Wigger. All right, I'm here with Madeline Wigger. Hi.
Hi.
You're just squinting and then smiling and laughing at me.
Yep.
Great. We just early evening.
Yeah, starting out our evening.
We start our evening into the night.
A little happy hour.
With H.P. Lovecraft's. I keep adding that to it, but it's H.P. Lovecraft's Reanimator.
Yeah. What a happy hour flip.
Yeah, what a happy hour. This is definitely a different kind of happy hour than you most listeners have probably gone out. It's definitely, it had a drink involved in some sense. It had a special. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that right away, into the discussing, because this is my first time. Two things. First off, for our listeners, give us, since it's my first time ever seeing this movie, Reanimator, for people out there that have, like want to be reacquainted with if they've seen it before, or those who haven't seen the movie, give us a synopsis.
Okay. So Reanimator is based off of H.P. Lovecraft's either novel or maybe a short story. I'm not really sure. But basically, this scientist was in Switzerland. And then we don't really find out, like, if he – I guess he just left on his own. But, like, he gets caught during an experiment, you know, this sort of reanimation experiment. And then he goes to the U.S., goes to medical school – meets this other like handsome medical student who's like also looking for a roommate, becomes his roommate, and then starts doing experiments in his basement, and then reanimation ensues, lots of blood and craziness and
feel free to spoil stuff. If
you know,
this is a spoil zone.
Welcome to the spoil zone. Yeah, so they, I already forgot it. West. I don't remember his first name.
I just looked up. So this movie is based on a short story because it just says story by H.P. Lovecraft. And the title of the original was Herbert West.
Yeah.
There Reanimator. Yes. That's the name of the...
So Herbert West is the guy who used to be in Switzerland. We don't even know... Like, he has an American accent. Like,
I assume he's an American that went to Germany and worked off of just what's given to us. That he's working with a German. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure, dumb side note, that they said Dr. Gruber's first name, and his first name is Hans. I'd have to go back and rewind it, but I swear they say Hans Gruber, which is hilarious to me because Hans Gruber is the villain in Die Hard, if that is true. Which in that came later, Die Hard, but I wonder if that's a nod to it or if it's just it is a very interesting name because that's a
Gruber.
Great villain in all of cinema from Die Hard.
Gruber just to me doesn't sound super scary. Gruber sounds like goober to me, so it's like endearing.
Oh, well, Hans, maybe when you watch Die Hard, you're more on his side. You're like, he's an endearing guy that shoots a Japanese man in the head.
You need to revisit it. Maybe I'll take a shot.
I mean, I just look at from Gruber's side. I mean, he clearly had to shoot that Japanese man in the head to get what he wanted. They weren't giving him up, giving the codes.
Okay. Moving on. Die Hard, love it, respect it, gotta revisit it. Gruber.
It is a wonderful movie to watch during the holidays.
So Mr. West, yes. So he's like hanging out in the basement of this apartment. And he's like immediately was like, I'm gonna give you cash and I want to immediately move in, and where's your basement? Because I want to do experiments down there. Mm-hmm. And so Handsome Dimple Man, what's his name? I forget. Well, Handsome Man.
That's Bruce. That's the actor's name, Bruce. Dan Kane is the character's name. Dan Kane.
Dan. So Dan has a girlfriend who's also a med student, and they immediately are like, this guy's creepy, but, you know, they're engaged. They don't live together because it's 1985.
Right.
And let's see. So one day they're like making out on the couch. And then she's like, where's your cat, Rufus? And Dan's like, I don't know. And she's like, your cat always greets me or like hisses at me. It was like really awkward. They just like weaseled that conversation in there. She goes looking for the cat, can't find it. Then goes into West's room and looks around for a really long time. It was a long buildup. And then she opens the mini fridge that's in his room to reveal a dead cat.
In green glow.
Oh, yeah. And then a shelf below, there's green glowing liquid.
Right. I'm all for spoilers, but you could speed up the synopsis. You don't have to like.
Oh no, I want to go. You told me to get spoilers. The spoil zone is a slow zone.
The spoil zone's a slow zone.
Well,
no speeding through the spoil zone.
So then the cat.
Somebody's gonna be like, I want her voice. I want her voice spoiling
please,
every movie
please,
for
please,
me.
Please. Yeah, slow.
So how do you get to bed? I listen to Maddie Wager spoil movies to me while I was like, that's how I get to sleep.
I would take money if someone paid me to do that. I would take that money.
Let's create a secondary podcast free of charge. Unless you want to like, it starts out as donation only.
Yeah, pay what you think this is worth.
Yeah, what's the free one? I don't know.
What's the free?
SoundCloud?
Oh,
yeah. We put you on SoundCloud mm-hmm. and just distribute it out in the world. You spoiling movies.
Very slowly.
Slowly. It would totally be up there like, what's it called? What's the thing people listen to, people talking?
Oh, ASMR?
Yeah, it would be the same thing.
Yeah.
It just would be a very specific niche that we get you to do.
I think that there's a market for that. Little film nerds are going to want to hear someone spoil a movie very slowly.
I feel like I cannot go see movies, but I love hearing them spoiled.
They're feeding off of it. I don't think they would go to sleep to that. I think that's how they start the day.
That could be. It doesn't matter. I don't care how they choose it. We're just going to make money off of it.
Great.
And give people some pleasure.
This situation.
Yeah, but we're going to give them... We're going to give them a couple for free, and then you have to come when you want. We need your fix. We take your money.
Can put out some requests of what movies you want to be, which movies you want spoiled. Take any requests.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So continue.
Cool. So
that was a side note. Mm-hmm, continue mm-hmm. the synopsis of Reanimator.
Well, I just want to, you know, it just, the whole thing is just so crazy. That it's just a crazy wild ride. But my favorite scene is. So we don't know exactly how the cat died, but we assume that West killed the cat and he wants to see if he can reanimate the cat. He wants to do experiments on it. And
or you could trust that he did find the cat dead with his head. Like
yeah,
he says,
I guess you just can't ever
with his
trust
head
his face.
Stuck in a jar and suffocated.
Oh, yeah. He said, mm-hmm. Because cats do weird things.
Because it could have been like maybe he was trying to. You know, stay away from it all. But then that cat, he found the cat dead and got the itch going again.
I think he killed it.
Okay. Two ways to look
He's
at
just,
it.
He's just, well, okay. Gruber.
okay.
Just threw him in there. Two ways to look at it. So, yeah. My favorite scene, though, is when he does reanimate the cat, Rufus.
Right.
A dog named cat.
A cat
named a dog's name. And it's the best scene because it's clearly a stuffed animal.
On a guy's back. Stuck to a guy's back.
Stuck to his guy, a guy's
yeah,
back. And he's
to,
just like freaking out.
On Herbert West attacking
Herbert West. Yes. He just brought him back to life. And then Dan comes downstairs because he hears all this like noise, and then he sees this crazy cat like attached to his back, and just a lot of physical.
So much. It looked, again, as I said while we were watching it, what a fun scene to film. They just tape this fake cat to you and you get to throw yourself around.
Yeah, right? And then eventually throw the cat against the wall, see a little bit of brain bits.
Mm-hmm. But then it keeps coming.
Then there's like one shot where the cat's face is coming towards the camera, and that must have just been a nice little like puppeteer job.
Yeah, it sent you giggling.
Ugh, its face. Its little stupid little face just coming towards the camera. Yeah, just the physicality of that scene is so insane and wonderful. Yeah.
We haven't finished the synopsis.
Oh, no.
You have not finished
Here's the synopsis. Here's the thing. I was very much enjoying this movie, and I'm like rewatching it now, but I was realizing that every time I have watched this movie, it was when I was in an
inebriated?
Not sober state.
Okay. Thanks. So, this is the first time you watched it sober?
Sober. Yes. Yeah. A little slow. Still enjoyed it. Or it's like one of those movies that you want to be doing bits the entire time.
Oh, I mean, I was.
Yes. I definitely reeled back.
We'll get to it. It didn't deter me from enjoying the movie, though.
Good.
Like, I didn't. But we'll get to that after you
finish. The enjoyment?
Yeah. We'll get to the enjoyment of the movie. And what I thought of this movie after you finished the synopsis that seems to have
an
no
hour
end
later.
To it. This episode I'm just going to title The Longest Synopsis of All Time.
I'm a little bit slow. It's okay. People love it. They haven't paid for it, but they want to.
Come on, guys. So, drop some dollars in the, yeah, in the Venmo for Spoiler Zone.
So the cat scene happens. Meanwhile, there's the professors of the medical school.
The character's name is Dr. Carl Hill.
Carl Hill, yes. So that's the creepy dude who has like immediate beef with West.
He has a beef. Well, West doesn't respect him.
Right.
He snaps
beef
with him.
Then
he has a
class.
Beef with Dan because Dan is the dean's boyfriend, which he
the
has
dean's
a
daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah, daughter's boyfriend. And then it's really creepy because
he has a crush on the dean's
unhealthy
daughter.
Crush, an obsession.
Yeah. Well, that comes a little bit later. We don't realize how deep it is, but yeah. So there's a lot of beef going on, and then basically Wes gets Dan involved in his experiments immediately. Like mm-hmm. Dan's like, okay, I guess I'll help you.
As soon as the cat.
The cat happens and he's like, you have to help me. And he's like,
He's a little bit excited about it. He's like, my gosh.
I think so. I guess so. Yeah. Maybe, like, where's that character motivation coming from? Why does he know that he's not actually that good? He's not that good because remember he tries to revive that woman at the beginning.
Yeah, he lets a fat woman die at the beginning, unfortunately. You look at the casting, it's like, get the most obese, like, looking woman.
No, I think it's just like someone who's willing to be naked.
For sure.
I just feel so, like, there's so many naked bodies in this movie that I was like, oh, God. Like, some people are down with that. Like, casting, like, there's
I think
that there must be people who are just, like, in that bubble of, like, they only do nude shoots. There must be a nude circle.
Yes, or there's just people that think that's their break. If I say
right,
yes to
or
this.
It's like, but I think it's like a separate, I bet it's a separate group of like, you know how there's extras who all, like certain groups of people that like all know each other too.
And they're comfortable being nude. They probably just do a lot of nude stuff.
Yeah.
Like their life's probably
that's what
nude.
I mean.
Yeah.
Nudists.
These are the kind of people that only wear like brown trench coats around, never clothes. So they could just take
always
off.
Always nude.
Yeah, always nude, except for that one layer that society says they have to have,
which is a trench coat.
Yeah, because it's the easiest thing to get.
Or a robe.
Like if you're a nudist, think about it. Do you want to put on all the clothing that society says you have to wear if you really just want to be naked? That's yeah, a like good
a,
choice.
A onesie
overalls
of some sort?
Is, yeah. Onesies or overalls, but trench coat is still...
Yeah, but that's like...
Because all you have to do is undo the wrap, the one rope yeah, in the middle, and you're done.
A flasher.
That's, yeah, but like think about it. You walk, like, no, you walk through the door. You just have to undo it and drop it like a robe.
Then why not a robe? I guess it's
because
robe
outside
is
outside.
What
people
if
are gonna be like, why are you
like
outside
a
in a robe? Because society, at least in like, it's gonna be that.
But
like,
society
turns a blind eye to a trench coat. But if you're wearing a robe out in public, they go, "You're getting eyes. You're getting eyes." They're going, "What's that? What's their deal?"
I want a trench coat that has a terry cloth lining. So it's it's a coat robe.
Ooh, so it's like soft inside?
It's a
is that terry cloth?
Yeah. A coat robe.
So you want to be a nudist?
yeah. First, I want to get paid to do slow spoilers.
Great.
Then
so I
know
those new people. So...
Gosh, where did I leave? It's so slow that then I forget where I left off.
You left off.
Okay, so the professors.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
So now they're the cat happens, and then
yeah, we're past the cat.
Then
he ropes in his buddy,
buddy goes and talks to Dean, and then he thinks he's crazy. The boyfriend.
Oh right.
He immediately thinks that he's, which is just. I think it's just because the only motivation is they already don't like him because he's a bad doc. He's a bad, like, student doctor.
Well, the dean is already really protective of his daughter.
For sure.
And so he's, like, already doesn't like this dude because he's like, you say you're going on study dates, but really you're boning.
Yeah, they've been boning.
So, so when Dan, when he explains to the dean what all has been going on, like, I saw his cat get reanimated. He's crazy. And then he expels him? Or he expels both him and West, which is crazy.
Bro,
to
I
do
don't
that
know
to
if
someone.
West is even included in that. It just seems like
yeah,
West
he did,
is he? Is?
Yeah, because he was like, he's expelled too, I think.
Oh, probably.
But which is crazy because he's not even in the room. He's like, I'm going to just take care of both of you right now.
And it's just word of mouth too. He could have been like,
yeah,
you're nuts.
So much.
Whatever. Go back to class.
Now you're done. So
you could say it's all the dean's fault because if he just like heard them out momentarily, maybe this all could have been resolved and they wouldn't have gotten to this place.
Yeah, it boils down to like really poor communication.
Very true.
Yeah.
Because the dean just immediately doesn't want to hear them, what do? Continuing with the synopsis. Our poor listeners are just like, get to the...
Get
tell
to
me
it.
What this movie's about.
What? That's the thing. That's why I wanted to watch this movie, is because I need to figure it out.
Okay, keep going.
So, wait, what does happen next? So they do that, another...
This is when they sneak back into the morgue, because they're trying to get more proof.
Right.
This is where they bring to life the Muscle Man.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The Muscle
another
Man.
Nude,
here, I'm
going to
streamline
man.
It.
Yeah, help me.
Streamline the Muscle Man. Then the dean is there and says, you aren't supposed to let them back in here. Dean leaves his daughter upstairs. He goes down to the morgue, then gets attacked by the Muscle Man.
Yeah,
essentially gets killed.
But the Muscle Man gets the weird glow juice.
He gets the glow juice that brought him back to life. So he's freaking out.
Yeah.
Glow juice. The dean dies. West is really excited because he's the most fresh they've had. So they bring the dean back to life.
Yeah.
Then the daughter shows up. Second time she sort of like showed up at the very end of things. Previously the cat.
Yeah. Oh,
then
yeah.
She
show up for the cat.
Yeah. At the very end.
She always shows up at the end and is like, what the
what's
fuck
going
just
on?
Happened? Yeah.
And their only response really is, what are you doing here? They make up some excuse that he went crazy, and then he gets put into an insane asylum that's weirdly attached to the Dr. Carl Hill's office.
He has like an
observation room of a padded room in his office.
Yeah.
But they put the dad in, who's essentially dead. So you think that they're just all going to believe this and move on. But lo and behold, the doctor knows what's going on, goes to West, tries to blackmail him into giving him so he can have the discovery himself. West then chops his head off with a shovel.
Gosh, you're very good at this. I'm terrible.
No, you're not. I just want to talk about other things with you than just the synopsis of the movie. So we've got to get it out of the way.
I should have said that at the beginning.
And I mean,
you need
and this is literally just laying it all out, spoiling it all, just to get it out of the way, and then we can parse it as we talk about it later. But as we continue to talk about it, but then,
like, I don't feel sober now after watching it. I feel like the shovel went through my. I feel like I got lobotomized.
It's a crazy movie. I can understand that, 100%. So then, he reanimates the doctor headless in his body, and then that doctor uses his bot and his detached body to knock Wes out, steal everything. I don't know how he got everything back to the office because he had to carry his head. That doesn't make sense. Goes back, then has a weird plan that they don't explain exactly. He just lets the dad out to go get the daughter. Then the daughter brings the daughter so he can fucking sexually abuse her, sexually assault her as a discappy dad. But it's also a great creepy villain.
Totally.
It's problematic, 100%. But they're not hiding that.
Yeah. But like if you have a fear of getting filleted by a detached head.
Or just an older man. And then on top of that, he happens to be a filleted head. But then other bodies are reanimated. The doctor says, yes, I now have this lobotomy that I know how to do with a laser drill that allows me to that gives their free will to me. They attack everybody. Then the dad's love for his daughter breaks through, and he destroys the doctor. And then that guy gets ripped. And then the dean gets ripped apart.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite moments out of this movie was when Wes goes, "No, I have a theory." And he goes, "Overdose?" He does it in the funniest way. "Overdose?" And he's holding both syringes like guns. He's like a cowboy for the moment. He goes and double doses the doctor's body, the villain. That breaks him up, and a big tentacle comes out. We'll talk about your aversion fear of tentacles. Oh, grabs him. Very H.P. Lovecraft image. That's his thing. Then... so that takes care of Wes. The two escape, but on the escape, two animated bodies attack them. One gets hold of her, which when I say her, Megan, she gets choked pretty much to death. Dan gets her up to the hospital. They try to revive her, which is a repetition of the beginning of him not being able to revive the woman because he's a terrible doctor. Then he loses her. They all leave because this is just standard procedure when you lose a patient.
Everyone leaves the room.
Just leaves the room and just leaves you there to deal with her. And then at that point, he pulls out the green syringe, pumps her full of some of it, and goes, "I love you." Blackout. And then screams from back end. Ooh. Why would you want to be with someone that's reanimated but is just in pain all the time? So that is our synopsis.
Thank
See you next
for
week.
Really. Okay, bye.
Let's come back for part two where we talk about us watching the movie after that 2-hour synopsis. That molasses of a synopsis.
I'm sorry, everyone. My brain is not.
You're great. I love it. You're great. So the big question is why? Why, Maddie?
Why?
Why did you want me to see this movie?
Well, I think it was... well, why not? I mean, this movie has a cult following and is, like, so bonkers. And I remember... I just saw it, I think, like, 4 years ago. And there's, like, been a handful of movies that, like, I've seen later in life that I'm like, this is so bad good.
Right.
So it was one of those movies, like... I saw Face Off a couple of years ago, and I can't believe I hadn't seen it.
That was a movie I grew up with.
And a lot of people.
Yeah.
I somehow, like, missed the boat with that one.
I don't think it holds up as well. And a lot of people try to, like, fight for it, and I'm like, it's bad.
Oh, no, it's bad good, though. It's really fun
like
to watch.
Yeah, I would agree. I think in a group. I tried to watch it alone.
No.
Again,
this
I was like, fuck this movie. But then I can see as a group how fun it would be.
Yeah, that's
how it'd be room-esque. Some of the choices, like the whole like weird way of showing affection by rubbing your son's face or your daughter's
face waterfall.
Yeah, that is. Yep. If anybody did that to me, I'd be like, "You stop it."
It's
one. I don't know where your fucking palm's been.
Wait, to plug another podcast in here. Have you heard the "How Did This Get Made"? About
yes,
that
I
one?
No, I've never watched. I haven't listened to that. I've only listened to one episode of that podcast.
The Face Off
one's
combat. Great.
I'll have to listen to it. Thanks for plugging a very much funnier podcast.
Super well known.
I'm real aggro about it.
Sorry. How'd This Get Made, the Face Off episode. Watch it. Watch it.
I can guarantee it's great. Those guys are funny.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, so I think this fits in that category of like movies I saw later on that I know have a following, and it's just so bonkers. And I love all the practical effects. Mostly, I just wanted you to see that cat scene because I felt like maybe you could play that role.
You want me to play the cat? You want me to play the cat?
Listen, we just spent the last hour and a half together watching this movie because the first time I saw it, I thought Dave Christensen should have played that stuffed animal.
I want that to be the truth. That would make a great cat.
Okay, then I'll leave. The truth is, no.
That would make a cat. Great cat.
Dave Christensen. I think you could have played West.
There's one role he could do. Oh, thank you.
But I hate...
Okay, you hate West, though.
Yeah, but I hate him.
Here, okay, great.
You could play, like, the parody version of this, but you can't really parody it.
But I, okay, I want to get into that then. So mm-hmm. here, like, this is a good, like, tipping point to just to talk about my experience. So I enjoyed this movie.
Okay, good.
I thought it was very entertaining. Like, good. Even for, like, I get what you meant, like, the good, bad, but I don't think this movie's that far off the mark. Like, I don't watch this. I didn't watch this movie thinking, oh, God, they really were trying for something and they fucking missed. And now we're enjoying like a laugh at it.
Totally.
It's more of like, no, they're hitting exact. It feels like it's like Student Gordon, who's the director, who did another H.P. Lovecraft movie that I've been wanting to see.
Which one is that?
Beyond This or Beyond Something. It stars the guy that plays West in it as well.
Oh. He liked him. His creepy,
he's
creepy
so
face.
Perfectly creepy.
Ugh, his perfectly. Mouth.
It's
his
called
lips.
From Beyond. It's another H.P. Lovecraft movie. I think that one gets a little more sexual in the nature.
Okay.
From what I've heard of it.
You can watch it and tell me about it. Give me the sped up spoilers.
Synopsis. No, we'll slow it down.
Okay. Fair enough.
Spoil zone is slow. Spoil zone is slow. no, but like, so with that said, like, yeah, they're limited by sort of like the special effects, but I like you said, I like the weird, creepy, practical mm-hmm, effects.
Mm-hmm. And the creepy story of it. I knew also that you would like it for different reasons than I would like it. It's kind of like, I knew you would like it, but it's also like when I know kind of your taste or like someone's music taste, I'm like, I think you would like this thing or I think you need to see it.
Yeah.
So it kind of tucked away as something I was like, it's one of those movies that's always stuck out to me is like, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
For sure.
And that you'd probably have an appreciation for it.
I think you're right on the money with that.
Yes.
Right on the money. Because it just, there's something perfectly creepy about it. And when it even it already like sets its tone to be a little out of this world. Because mm-hmm. the acting is a little, everybody's sort of playing every note. Like they're playing every word almost literal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's very melodramatic and like...
Yeah.
Like
There's no subtlety to anything. Mm-mm. Like, you know that doctor, the first meeting where they're having dinner with the with Dr. Dean and his daughter are all eating, you immediately like, you know, oh, that doctor wants to screw your daughter. It's insane that you, Dean, cannot see that.
Yeah.
Or you can.
Looking
and
at her.
Yeah. It's like... And it's just, there's sort of like no subtlety to anything anybody's doing in this movie.
I love
even
that.
Even West
I love so
is
many
just
movies
like,
that are
wears
like,
his creepiness.
Oh, it's just so fun. I would love.
You want to be in him?
Yeah, I want to be in. Like, where it's so melodramatic and so, like, it's so funny because I was also thinking about Wet Hot American Summer, too. Like, especially in one of the scenes where, was it when the big muscly guy, or maybe, no, it was another scene where they're just like tearing everything apart. It felt like
it's the one where they're looking for, they're somewhere in the camp, that scene, and they're running through everything, and they're not with no purpose, just knocking everything down.
They're in the
very
office.
Great scene.
Yeah, that reminded me of a scene in this.
And they just scream. Oh, that's exactly this kind of acting.
It's
like this acting where they're trying to push people to a raw place, but because it's not, it's already, it's like they're already playing on the surface. And as an actor, I know this place. Where you're just kind of like sort of, you're not going deeper. You're just playing on the surface and you're adding to it.
Yeah.
We've all experienced it in acting class and whatever
we've
project you've
experienced it. Except
as
for
actors.
Me.
Yeah. You're such a perfect actor. But thanks. Yeah, so they're just adding on. So it just gets, it gets so over, it gets above the ground. Mm-hmm. It never is grounded. But it's like, because there's not one performance that's not that, it all fits in place in this movie.
Yeah, it's all in that world.
Yeah, you're like, all right, I get it. It's already an outrageous
Except
world.
Except for the security guard. Like, he was pretty chill the whole time. Like, he was dumb, but I wanted to see him flip out.
There's sort of like, and tell me if this is, I think there's sort of an inherent racism to his character.
Oh, for sure.
Because they cast him as this black security guard who's, one, lazy.
Yeah.
Two, they're just making him cool. It's such like a weird, like, late 70s, early 80s sort of stereotype of a black male.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just cool, laid back. That's why you can get past me. Then when shit comes, I'm going to run away. Very much a racial fucking tone that you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I like him. He's very charming
as
that character. But it's sort of like, you think about it, it's a bit of a racial thing that the writer is kind of doing.
Like, probably
jerk off on his job, and you're like, yeah. And the rest of the cast is white.
But I did, yeah.
And they're rich and pretty.
Those dimples on Dan.
Yeah, those dimples on Dan. But there's a lot that's enjoyable just by the simplicity of these funny, like, keynote scenes, like the cat attacking scene is outrageous. On top of, like, even, like, the other zombie-esque scenes, I don't know what else to call them, the reanimated, probably better to call them the reanimated scenes because they're not traditional zombies at all. But those scenes, like, they're outrageous, but they're done in such a tonally matching with the rest of the movie that they don't take you out of place of the movie. They keep your attention.
And I love the, like, you were really geeking out over the villain, like the teacher who
he has like a severed head.
Yeah, the severed head teacher who then carries it around in like a
pan. It's such a bold, fun fucking choice to have this creepy guy like, now I'm just going to carry my head around and just keep going on with my plans.
Every once in a while, I got to feed a little bit of blood because it needs it. Yeah. It's still breathing.
And you could, and I didn't, and we never understood his, other than like, I'm going to put my mouth on this girl's boobs and try to go down on her while I have a severed head, which is grotesque. What else did he, what was he trying else to accomplish?
Does he expect a long-term thing? Like, I love you, you're going to love me, I'm not attached to my body.
Or is it just like, well, now I'm, or is it just that's the, or is it, it's all a commentary on the animal instinct of coming back. Because some people are animated and they're just pure animal. Mm-hmm. Like Ravage, but his is this heightened, even though his is a heightened, like he's the most one that's animated that can acknowledge things and control people.
That's a good point.
But he's also animalistic in the sense that like, oh, I just want my urge taken care of. So is it just a comment, another comment? Because most sci-fi is a commentary on us. That if we were reanimated in a sense, H.P. Lovecraft and the Stuart are saying like, you're just going to go back to your primal urges, which isn't good. We should just die. In a sense, they're just saying we should all die. Because all we have are our primal urges in the end. And those aren't good.
Oh, and then why does he have... I understand. Like, why the tentacle?
I think the tentacle is just... It's a visual thing that I know it's just... if you watch anything H.P. Lovecraft, that they come in. Tentacles is a huge thing.
Cthulhu? Is that, do I say it
Cthulhu,
right?
Cthulhu, yeah. Cthulhu has like tentacles on his face.
See, that's why I haven't watched that.
Well, I don't think Cthulhu has ever. I could be wrong, but I don't think Cthulhu has ever appeared in a movie.
Oh,
it's just in his literature, and then there's drawn images of him. But you've seen the tentacle images, like
he's
in. I haven't seen the other one from Beyond, but I've seen images that has a lot of tentacles in it. I think. I mean, Slither. Did you ever see that horror movie, Slither?
No.
That's some H.P. Lovecraft. That's a James Gunn movie that has a little bit of H.P. Lovecraft like imagery. With what the main villain becomes and stuff. And then there's a movie that I like a lot from In the Mouth of Madness. It's a John Carpenter movie. You could stand this one because even the tentacles are very very brief. And you should see this movie.
I mean, I love horror movies and I love John Carpenter.
Then watch In the Mouth of Madness. It's like this. Uh-huh. It lives in a world that's sort of heightened because what the storyline is it's an author that's sort of like a Stephen King author. And then one day he goes missing and these two people are hired to go find this author, and they end up in the town that he's been, his books exist in. And it just gets weird from there. But it ends in such a, the word I'm going to use is terrible, like a deliciously funny note of like commentary on mass media, but also it plays into, because the classic thing with H.P. Lovecraft is that his literature, it talks about a lot about literature that if you read it, it will drive you mad. Mm-hmm. But then it plays into that, into a bigger note with cinema, and makes a comment. It's, it ends, see, it has an ending to a movie that I like, makes me smile and so happy, and you go through madness to get to it, and then you just you're overjoyed, by the way, and Sam Neill's in it and he's great, and
Mouth if you haven't,
In the Mouth of Madness.
Okay.
I watched it like one or two years ago, and because I was just like, I like John Carpenter, and I was like, I'll watch his horror movies because I love The Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh man,
yeah, I saw that tentacles.
Yep.
See those those are tentacles that are very H.P. Lovecraft. That are like sort of just that way. But there's just, I just know that comes from his literature. But I, again, you're talking to somebody that's very uneducated. I've never read officially. I think I bought
for 99 cents his collected work,
and I have yet to read them. But they're supposed to be so good.
Yeah.
I mean, they've inspired so many people too. His literature. Throughout horror and and stuff. I don't know.
Do a little book club.
We should have a little horror book club.
A horror book club.
No spoils on a horror book club, though.
No, never.
But
leave that for podcasts that people can Venmo us to. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Venmo to support our book club.
Yeah.
The saddest book club. We had to start a GoFundMe to have a book club.
They use the little emojis to pay for the Venmo. It's just like a little skull in a
little
book.
Skull book.
In a book.
Great. Love it. They should have a tentacle in there.
Nope.
They should. They should have a tentacle emoji. They should have a Cthulhu emoji just to freak people out. That would be the best. This might be off. I think we've talked around it. I enjoyed it. I think there's things about it. It's hard. It's a movie that I think is hard to explain. Like
that's why the spoiler was so slow.
Yeah, like you can't. Like even me trying to like, oh yeah, you've seen that. Like the imagery is just like cool. Like The Thing. Even though I think the movie The Thing, its special effects hold up today.
Yeah.
But this one, like, they're pretty close. Like, but his like the body puppetry and stuff is really fun and entertaining and good. And they don't go too far with anything. And like they're not stretching themselves.
Yeah, I'm just gonna guess at the budget. There was probably a significant difference in budget.
Yeah, for sure. You're totally. I think you're 100% probably right on that. Yeah, but this is a movie I was while watching it, and this is what I bring this back to you saying I could play Herbert West.
Let's talk more about me playing that role of the cat.
Well, the only reason I say it is, like, I was pretty surprised. This is a movie that I watched it. I was like, I'm surprised no one's remade this.
Yeah.
Because I think you, if you did it right, you could make a damn good version of this movie.
Oh, for sure.
You couldn't make it too, you couldn't overcomplicate it. You couldn't try to recreate the way what makes this so culty and pop pulpy. You can't try to do that again. But I feel like you could take a good director that somebody like, even though I wasn't absolutely in love with it, but I loved elements of it. Like the guy that did It Follows.
Oh, yeah.
Or the guys that do Stranger Things. I think you could recreate a version of The Reanimator that would be updated and
updated,
really...
Updated, but still a little nostalgic.
Nostalgic and in the vein of it, but be updated to like new commentary and just better acting.
I would...
You know what I mean? More grounded and...
Who do you think would play
a good... I mean, if you can make fucking... You can justify in movies now, like, why Thor exists and Hulk and all that. Why could you not do that with this kind of material?
I at one point I was like, Reanimator the musical would be cool.
But they're making everything into a musical. And I'm not a huge guy that loves musicals. I appreciate musicals.
Thought a stage version.
But
would
I think you're
great.
That'd be fun. And they could do a lot on stage with it.
Oh yeah. A lot of blood.
You could do. Oh come on. Think about if you do Reanimated musical, you have to have a number where Dr. Carl Hill and his head are singing, and then there's
together.
A tap dance number with his body. His unanimated, his reanimated body. I mean, there's gold in there for that.
So
somebody make it, or we should do it. No.
But
what an undertaking. Another GoFundMe.
So who do you think would play the West if it were remade today?
Me! Okay. Are we really? No,
you're the cat.
Guy Pearce could play him, but he's a little older now. But he has a similar face structure that would work. Mm-hmm. I mean, or God, like, you know who would have been great, but he died? I do really mean that. Anton Yelchin would have been a really interesting Herbert West. Because I think Anton Yelchin could have been brought...
I don't know who that is.
The guy that played the young in the new Star Trek movies, he was the young Russian. And he sadly died last year.
Oh, yeah.
He would have been perfect because he could have bring because that's the thing, is a new movie, you need to drop a lot of Herbert West being creepy. Mm-hmm. You need to highlight his obsession with death, but so you could follow him. As an audience, we now want to follow him through to his weird experiments.
Yeah.
And get people to believe. You wouldn't need Dane. You'd remove the Dane character. Do you know what I mean?
About those dimples?
You'd only need Herbert West and then him having a relationship with somebody else.
Right. What about what's his face? Danish girl.
Oh my gosh. And he got an Oscar for playing his name? Stephen Hawking.
Yep.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
He seems a little older too though.
Yeah,
because you got to put him in college. Oh, yeah. So it's like, that's why I went with Anton Yelchin, unfortunately. But I don't know what other actor, and I'm not to date on the young actors right now. I mean, maybe that guy from Goosebumps that's now on 13Y. He was in the Goosebumps movie. I can't think of his name right now.
How was the Goosebumps movie?
I actually found the Goosebumps surprisingly entertaining. Like, I wouldn't go, I need to watch it ever again. But it came up on HBO Go one time, around holidays, and I watched it. And I was like, oh, let's just watch it. It wasn't dribble?
It wasn't dribble? It was enjoyable?
Yeah, I thought it was entertaining. And I think Jack Black is very entertaining as playing R.L. Stine. Okay. He gets you through it, and he's entertaining. For a big fluff movie, it's fine. This Dylan Minnette, this guy, I'll show you. Let me pull up.
Oh, yeah.
I think he could. He could give a little heart to it.
Definitely.
Dylan Minnette, whatever. And he's young. He's 20, so he could play that college age. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was looking at the other actor, but I don't know. I think you have, because that's the only way you could make this movie, remake it, and for new audiences, you have to have that lead. We have to
You gotta hook him in.
You gotta hook him in with me, following you through on your weird experiment.
Right.
Because this one just sort of Stuart Gordon sort of just throws us in.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest flaw of it, is that there's nothing really explained until after the fact. And but it's fun at the same time. It's I believe it. I'm watching the liquid glow is so green. You're well, it has to be supernatural. We don't need to explain it to me. Of course it brings people to life. It glows fluorescent.
Yeah, I would like to see that scene of how that was made.
It's glow sticks. I mean, they're...
Oh, yeah. I would like to see a scene where he just breaks up glow sticks and he's like, this is going to reanimate humans.
Yeah.
And animals.
You're right. I don't know that. And...
But
wait. Is there a reanimator evolution coming?
Okay. I think there was another one.
Pursued by... There's...
Wait, what?
There's another movie coming out, but I don't know, November... An ambitious neuroscientist.
What? Pursued by the police, an ambitious neuroscientist uses a neutrino impulse.
That seems a little much. The cast is odd. It's people that are just older. Not that
that's
bad.
Well, that
bad,
guy
just,
looks like, his headshot looks well, like he's from, a
I know
a
this guy. He was
quartet.
In Lord of the Rings. He was Squid Tongue.
Brad Dourif?
Yeah, he was Worm Tongue. That's his name.
Ew.
Yeah, and he was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's. He's been around forever.
And he was in Chucky?
He might be the voice of Chucky.
God. I started to rewatch Chucky a few months ago.
And how did that hold up?
It's still pretty disturbing. The voice really does it.
Really?
Oh, God, it's so terrible when it's just like that, his voice coming out of that doll and just like, you bitch.
Oh yeah, that's very true.
He's got a foul mouth, that little doll.
Because he's a serial killer.
Yeah,
he's a serial killer.
It was a wild ride.
That's, I think they did multiple sequels to this movie, because there's The Bride of Reanimator in 89 that I'm looking up. And it has that doctor's heads again.
And the head is back?
Yeah, it's like the same. He's in like the same guy, Jeffrey Combs, who played... Oh, it looks like they brought back Bath. They brought back both. They brought back both for this Bride of Reanimator in 89.
I felt like Dan. Ooh, I felt like Dan's character, kind of like, especially that moment when he carries, Megan?
Yeah,
Megan out. It felt so, Sam Raimi.
Yes.
It felt like.
Like, what's it? Evil Dead.
Yeah, not Evil Dead, like, but the other
Ash
one.
Or.
The other Sam. One where he's like big old buff dude.
Big old Army of Darkness?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same. It's Ash.
Okay.
Same character.
I prefer...
Yeah. Because Evil Dead... There's Evil Dead. Then they remade Evil Dead into Evil Dead 2.
Right.
Then Army of Darkness is the sequel to those.
Because
he leaves the cabin and he gets transported back.
Yes, yes.
I prefer Army of Darkness, even though the others are enjoyable.
Yeah. I like Evil Dead quite a bit.
I just love Army of Darkness. It's so fun. And I remember it being a movie. I distinctly remember seeing the cover for that movie at Blockbuster and wanting to rent it.
My
mom said no. And I think it was just because it was rated R. And then when you watch it later on, you're like, this movie was harmless.
Yeah.
Like, Army of Darkness is harmless. It just got like an R rating.
Is that
for
the
like,
one where he has the chainsaw arm?
Yeah.
Okay, and then he ends then up, I have seen it.
And then he also has like an arm. He gets an a robotic
yes,
arm.
Yes,
he fights monsters in medieval times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a time.
What a time, those medieval times of those time travelers. What a time. Great. So before we wrap up, I mean, great. This was an enjoyable movie. I was not a single wasted moment.
Good. I'm so glad.
I do want someone to really do like a cool remake of it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're just kind of rehashing whoever owns the rights or rehashing with these old actors.
Oh, but I would geek out if, like, as you said, like the It Follows crew or Stranger Things. Like, I would eat that up.
Me too. And I think they could do a good job of it. Because they even did one in 2003 called Beyond Reanimator, and it's the same damn actor.
No.
Stuff like that just makes me go, like, that's good for you, you're working, but, like, you had other roles that were better. But anyways.
I'm very curious as to what that actor is like in real life.
I bet he's, like, the nicest guy. I feel like people in those kind of careers end up being the nicest guys.
They're
polars. They're either fucking assholes and divas, or they're, like, the nicest people.
Mm. They're never on the... I think that he's probably an a-hole.
You think so? Because he's in the movie The Frighteners, it says, and I like his character a lot in that movie.
We have to watch some interviews with him or something, get to the bottom
of
it. I'm very curious.
We'll definitely have to. But it was enjoyable. I really liked a lot of it.
I'm so glad.
Really fun to watch. This is a side note on top of, like, if Stranger Things people remade it, it'd be perfect. Like, just today they announced that, like, Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy 3 was pretty much buried and gone. But the rumors they're spreading is that one of the guys that did Stranger Things is picking up, and they're going to do a reboot of Hellboy. And if you look behind you, I have all these library editions. You can see how much I love Hellboy. I have all six. There's a seventh coming, which I cannot wait.
There's some giant Hellboy
I
books.
I love Hellboy. He's one of my favorite characters of all time. And I'm like, they handle it. I'm hoping. And it's the guy from Stranger Things. The rumor is it's the guy that plays the chief.
So you're going to eat that
is
up.
is going to play Hellboy, it seems.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think, one, it will be a different take. They won't make like this super fantastic. I feel like they'll ground it. And if they do the one thing I want them to do, I don't know, I'm geeking out on this for
yeah,
no
you're
reason.
Getting
I,
real excited.
I love Hellboy so much. I hope they place it in the time period that they do. Because in the movie, they did this weird thing. They jumped it towards modern times. Mm-hmm. And they're like, he ages slow like a dog or some bullshit. But that, in the comic books, it takes place in the real world. Like, he ages with us. So he gets introduced to our world in the 40s. So when he's grown up, it's 1970s. And he now works for the Bureau of Paranormal Investigations and everything. Research, BBRD. I'm messing it up, but I hope they do that. I hope they do like sort of time period with him, and give like a retelling of history. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that stuff. And then there's a period, of course, he makes up to modern times, but there's a whole storyline where he disappears.
Oh, boy.
Because everything's trying to kill him and get him to be use his right hand of doom, blah, blah, blah. But I was just excited. I think there's these new people that have like an appreciation for old things like this Reanimator and like old movies.
Oh,
but they
yeah.
don't come to the table going, we're just going to... They're not like film... students, they're like, we got to remake those old movies. They have an acknowledgement that like, we can't remake that. That's an era that's gone. So we have to just do our new version with homage to it, which right. I highly appreciate because I hate when shit just people try to remake.
Right.
Or like, they don't make it like they used to. So they try to do it and you're like, it's like Superman Returns. You tried to make a Richard Donner movie, Mr. Singer, and it's boring as fuck.
Right. Or it's like the new Muppet movie was made by What's-His-Face, who's a huge Muppet fan.
And it successfully works, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, so weird.
Oh,
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's
I should
great.
See it. It's supposed to be delightful.
You like Muppets? You like Muppets?
I do. I like Muppets. I don't think... I think other people have more affinity mm-hmm. for Muppets mm-hmm. than I do, but I like Muppets. So, before we wrap up my stupid tangent about Hellboy, your molasses.
Shut up.
Just giving you a hard time. I love you.
I don't know anything about Hellboy, so thank you for going off on that tangent. Because now I want to explore Hellboy.
He's the best. He's great.
He's the best.
he's just a great character. But I have a question for you. My podcast is all about I will watch anything once.
Mm-hmm.
However, is there a movie, a type of movie, a genre, a director, anything specific that Maddie mm-hmm. chooses not to watch that you go out of your way not to see?
Oh.
You're like, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
The Saw movies.
Okay. So torture porn.
yeah. No.
Have you seen them before?
Nope.
Okay. So you
nope.
never
and I love horror movies.
Yeah,
I love horror movies.
What's your favorite horror movie? If you had to name one.
Oh gosh.
Top three. If you have to go three.
Yeah, I mean Halloween's definitely up there. I've
never seen that.
What fuck? Why didn't we do that today?
You got to pick, don't look at me.
I think I did put that on my list.
That was on your short list and you went with this one.
I love Poltergeist.
Ooh, I recently watched that for the first time.
I love The Exorcist. You know, the big boys.
Ooh. I have problems with The Exorcist.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also love the campy ones. I love all the... Nightmare on Elm Street. God, Freddy Krueger is such a fucking nasty, scary villain. What are your top favorite villains?
That's a hard question.
I know.
Just because I've never thought about it.
I've thought about it. It's a fun question.
I mean,
question
Hans Gruber.
Yeah. It's fun to think of your favorite villain and also their weapon of choice.
Uh-huh.
For example, like in No Country for Old Men,
ooh,
I love the villain in that. And I love that he uses
the air compressor.
The air compressor. It's so fucked up.
It's so dangerous.
And also, like, I've never seen any other villain use it. Or, like, Frank Booth is another favorite villain of mine, and it's not his weapon.
Which
but
one's
I love.
Frank Booth?
Blue Velvet.
Ooh,
have you seen Blue Velvet?
I have. I need to see it again. I haven't seen it
time.
For a couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't.
But it's not his weapon, but he uses that weird, like, nitrous oxide tank or whatever.
That is a hard question. I really don't think I have an answer.
No, sit on it.
Right? Just because you caught me off guard, and that's the only thing I was like, oh, what do I immediately go to?
No, it's just something to think about, and, you know. Listeners out there.
And I was like, Marvel, and I was going to try to go to Marvel, but I don't think Marvel has good villains.
Yeah.
I mean, they have enjoyable villains.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's been their biggest, like, complaint mm-hmm. anyway, and, like, critically, is that they don't have, like, great villains. But none of them really, like, stand out of, like, I need more of that villain. Even Loki's like, great, I like your motivation for you, Loki. And I think you're sort of an anti-hero more than you are a villain in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any, like, perfect choice for villains in that world.
I forgot my favorite horror movie is Shining.
Ooh, Shining's brilliant.
It's like my
absolutely.
Favorite movie in general. Like, my favorite movie is either The Shining or Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Very
wow,
different.
Those two.
Very different.
Very. But take place in a man's insane mind. Amanda, who's a man child, and one who's a writer. Think about it.
Think about it. It makes sense.
They really,
Cookies.
They're both cookies.
Yeah, they both have crazy houses. One's filled with toys and one's filled with little spooky people.
A lot of spooky people.
Doing weird stuff in other rooms.
Shining is brilliant. Did you watch the documentary about it?
I didn't, because I heard mixed things about it.
I hated it.
Okay. But, yeah, that's why because, I was, like, protective nah, over
because
it.
I just don't think they give enough. They don't really break down any of the theories. They just kind of, like, present you and go, they don't really, like, break down evidence. But there's a video I should send you. I'll have to find the link to it where it sucked me in where a guy breaks down actually what he's trying to his theory for that movie and why it's so perfectly creepy. It's because just a quick he breaks it down to like what he was trying to do is like because Kubrick was so obsessed like if you watch that movie there's a lot of continuity problems but they're not continuity problems because if you look at all of Kubrick's movies, you go, how can there be continuity problems with this guy that's so like obsessed
meticulous.
And meticulous? And it's really what it is that that movie's supposed to be, it's a ghost story. And most accounts that are recorded or reported about ghosts are not things floating in the air. It's about things subtly moving. Those are all the most reports that you hear about ghost stories. People are like, oh, you walked in and the cupboards were open or your things were. So if you watch that movie, things are moving and never in place. They're always subtly. There's a particular reason, a particular example in this movie or that movie's like he's sitting there talking to his wife at his table, at his typewriter, and there's a chair behind him.
Yep.
And in the cut, it disappears. And it cuts back to him. And it's like, that can't be the thing that it's. So what's believed is that Kubrick was just walking around, always moving stuff to give things this eerie displacement. And there's another, and there's a sign. There's other examples. Yeah. The sign to the party moves throughout the entire movie. The rug. One of my favorite theories is that, and I think it works, if there's ghosts always, and they're there before we realize it. When they're getting shown the hotel, all the people that are moving the things and cleaning up never acknowledge Jack and his family.
Ooh, these are fun little tidbits.
It's fun to like go down that hole and be like, cool, they're good. Because I think that matches more of like what the direct, like Kubrick's like, it's a ghost story. So he's trying to give that. And those things make sense. Whereas like these other theories in that movie, I'm like, fuck off. These are just like the whole like Apollo theory. It's fun, but at the same time, I'm like, eh. And some of them are just like, yeah, it's maybe worth a watch. I just didn't. In the end, I don't think it's a good documentary.
Totally. Personally. That's why I think I stayed away, is because I heard so many mixed things. I was like, I don't want it to taint my experience.
But this one I can find on YouTube is really cool. Like, it really good, because I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I can see. He's approaching it like, this is what the filmmaker's trying to do.
Right.
And it's based on just ghost things that have been, reported. Cool. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so great. You have one movie you won't see, and that's torture porn.
Yeah.
That's it?
Oh, yeah. Great. No Saw movies. No, great. Thank you.
Cool. Everything else, I guess you'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I see a lot of kids' movies because I babysit kids, and there's just been, gosh, I really love a good animated movie, but there's been some that I'm just like, it's just torture.
Like, can you give me what's
example,
the last one?
For example, Free Birds was so bad.
Yeah, like they.
Did you see that one?
No,
I don't even remember. I have actively tried to forget it.
I think I got burned once. I think it was Ice Age.
BFG did
it.
BFG was pretty bad.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I saw Ice Age and I was like, "What the fuck?" And that put me out of animated movies for a while. And then I think
love
how
the squirrel. The squirrel is so. I am that thing.
Yeah, but like, make it a short. Don't put it make a whole. All the rest of the characters suck. In my opinion, but whatever.
Totally.
But the only thing that brought me back really to animation, and then I'm still way behind on it. I mean, Pixar's always been there, but like Kung Fu Panda, love it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the second one, weirdly. I've seen the first and the third. Weird. Both of them are great. And How to Train Your Dragons.
Yeah.
Those have been great.
Up?
Up was great. Yeah, Pixar's are great.
Yeah, Pixar.
I mean, I haven't seen Good Dinosaur and a couple of other. I have never saw Brave or anything, but
yeah,
I'm behind all that much. But overall, I'm with you on there. With you on that animation.
Yeah, love a lot of them except when they're bad.
Yeah, when they're bad, it's like, as you just said, it's painful.
It is.
Because it's like they're dumb. They just don't work. Nothing lands. Like when jokes don't land, they don't land.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet? falling
the second
to?
One? Yeah. No.
There's a joke in there that I fucking... It's haunted me.
Oh.
And I talked about it in my... Like,
scary.
Well, it's just because it's a dumb joke that you're just like, ooh, yeah, it's haunted me. It's in my bed. Creeps around at night, that joke. but, yeah. Great. Well, we don't need to expound more
on stuff that we hate.
Yeah, that we hate. That have nothing to do with Reanimator. But... Maddie, thank you so much for introducing me to Reanimator.
Absolutely.
It was a delight to watch it with you. Real quick, though, I have to ask one thing to really let us out. Mm. You have a podcast that's going to be, if not already out, as aired. Can you out? Can you take
I
us
can.
Out with a fart?
Ooh, yeah. Well,
go for it.
I will take you out with a fart. A real one, but also a description of my podcast, which is I play a really silly game involving fart sounds and scenarios involving said fart sounds with a rotating cast of comedians. The podcast is called Fart This. It launches June 5th. And here's a little sample. That's the sound of a fart coming out of one of the bodies right before it's getting reanimated.
If you want more from Madeline Wager, you can follow her on Twitter at Madeline Wager and also on Instagram at Mad Wags. She performs a lot of great characters around the Los Angeles area. So if you just follow her on those social media avenues, you'll be able to go to one of her live shows. She's a very funny performer. You definitely want to check her out. Also, she just dropped her new podcast. It's all about farting and creating fart sounds from various comedians. Check it out. It's called Fart This Podcast. It's definitely a new podcast you're going to want to check out. Again, that is Fart This. I'm not going to attempt now to make a fart sound because I'm not a fartist. Maddie's a fartist, so definitely check her out. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and please go on to iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe. More importantly, though, those ratings and the reviews will bring more listeners. So I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If there's something you think I'm doing wrong or something I'm doing great, whatever, you can reach out to me, keep up to date with what I'm watching currently, what I think of things out there, but also tell me what you think I should watch and discuss on the podcast if you want to. You can do that by following the podcast on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at IWWAO, or just send me an email at iwillwatchanythingonce@gmail.com. But I really appreciate all the listens. I appreciate all the reviews that have already been dropped. Thank you so much. And remember, if you haven't seen it once, you can't complain. Do when I announce you, do you want Madeline or Maddie?
I know, it's always a thing. Let's do Madeline Wager.
Wager.
Yeah, you know
not
how
Wager.
I
say my, yeah, Wager.
You know my
like Jaeger? Jaegermeister?
Yeah, I should say that.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.